Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
UEEI rarely want them to speak.
You are a bunch of dumb MFers.
Nope. Shut up!
They put up with absurd requests for the past week.
Go to the crack shack, tell them Mutt sent you.
And now they've left the control room to get behind the mic.
You're marketing abrasiveness and it's changing talk radio.
This is the UEEI Producer Show.
It is what it is.
With Tyler Devitt.
Mitch Billings. Trubisky, a 2018 Pro Bowler. I'm making your point, Christian.
Thank you, Tyler, friend of mine. So, but the ceiling, I do think it's
John Anderson.
This is an easier choice than every girl in Nashville had to make when they decided, yeah, I'm not going to sleep with the guy with the headband on.
And Chris Scheim.
With like a honey bacon jam. Oh, daddy. Did you see a Quizzle on Twitter? God, I choked on my own spit.
On WEEI.
Oh, best of good mornings to all of you out in New England, especially here in the city of Boston. 8 o'clock, Chris Scheim, John Anderson, Tyler
Devitt. And all my ladies down in Nashville listening on the Odyssey app.
They are always on the brand new, the absolutely free Odyssey app for iPhone and Android. Down in Nashville, we would love to have you guys here in the city of Boston. This is the WEI Producers Show. We're here until 9 o'clock with the Ken and Curtis Show following us. Ugh. And the question I have for you guys to start the show is, why are people overlooking the Saints? Everyone thinks they're playing in the Bucks this weekend, and Brady's coming to town. So is his dad. So is Alex Carrero. You still got a whole week until that game actually happens.
The Saints have Jameis Winston, and people look at the quarterback and assume that the entire team is crap because they don't like the quarterback, even though the quarterback is also fine.
That's
right?
And that same quarterback beat Aaron Rodgers 38-3 in week one of the NFL season.
He threw five touchdown passes.
People are ignoring that. Just a fluke. Aaron doesn't want to play this year.
He threw 5,000 yards in a season. He can't be good.
Yeah, they're real quick to cite touchdown passes and such when it fits their argument, but not when it's Jameis Winston, a quarterback who everyone just assumes is bad, but if you critically think about it, he's actually like fine, and he's on the Saints. He has a good O-line, a good defense, and a top five offensive line.
That's a W.
Can I throw a hot take to you guys?
Let me hear it.
Hold on. Oh, I'm not ready. It's cold in here, Tyler.
802. Make sure that coffee's still hot over there. The pavement.
It is.
Egg and cheese sandwich you got
I turned up the heat. I'm going to be honest.
I think that Jameis will actually outplay Mac on Sunday.
I think he could
Tyler,
as well.
Tyler,
he
hot will. Take? He I will. Completely agree with you. And I've been saying this now for 3 weeks.
I think he's going to turn the ball over more than Mac, though. So that's why when we did our final score predictions, I said something like, I think the Saints cover the three-point spread because of the way the Patriots play offense. And if you're a bonehead like me and took Patriots minus 5.5 last week and parlayed it. No, that hit. That hit against the Jets.
I was going to say, that'd be crazy.
No, so I took that last week against the Jets, and then I foolishly parlayed it with Mac having to throw one touchdown pass, which I guess doesn't happen in this offense. But that's why my final score prediction is like 16-14. Maybe
one of the best back condoms.
That's exactly, okay, thank you. That's exactly what my prediction is, because the biggest issue I have with this Patriots team is they don't score touchdowns. They don't finish drives. It's like Gresh's raving and ranting all preseason that it's like, Mac, the 91-yard drive, field goal, 74-yard drive, field goal, 62-yard drive, field goal. I'm like, it doesn't matter if you can't score a touchdown. And this team could be great. This team, and this is my comparison, this team is going to be last year's Carolina Panthers. With Teddy Bridgewater, between the 20s, they were the best team in football outside of the Kansas City Chiefs. Inside the 20s.
In terms of what? Just moving the ball?
Moving the football. Yards per play. Just about any metric you can find. The Carolina Panthers from 20 to 20 were the second best team in football. Now, inside the 20, in the red zone, the Carolina Panthers were 30th. They were one of the worst teams in football in the red zone. And
they also lost McCaffrey, to be fair.
No, I know. But, like, I'm just saying, I think that's what this Patriots team is. Uh-huh. I think they're going to be able to move the ball. They're going to be able to get first downs. I mean, I think they're averaging something like 5 yards a play, which is not terrible, but it's not great either. You have the ability to – Mac isn't going to turn the ball over, so you have the ability to make kind of string together drives. But the issue is once you get to the 20-yard line, you can't get in the end zone. Like, unless Damian Harris breaks 8 tackles on his way, you can't get in the end zone.
And that's the thing. I don't think they're going to be able to lean on Harris in this game as they have been in previous weeks. I know the Saints have 4 starters now that might miss this game. Marshon Lattimore is going to play. This whole thing we've been talking about with downfield passing, like, this is the game where we need to just see a little bit of it. I think Mac can mix it in a bit to the degree where maybe he's not perceived as outplaying Winston per se, because I think Winston might have a couple turnovers but might have more explosive plays than Mac, and that brings me back to the 16-14 score. But there are ways to do this. So I don't think you'll be able to lean on them as much. But for example, you got our guy Paulson Adebo, who's in the secondary here, and I know he ripped the team,
Stanford.
Tyler. He last week, week 2, Sam Darnold targeted him 11 times and he gave up 9 catches for 90 yards. And I also think he had 2 like holding penalties. So whoever he gets matched up against, and I know it's different with Lattimore in the game, the different things the Saints can do on defense. Like that's who Mac needs to go after.
So Paulson Adebo was talking with the Saints media this week about Mac Jones and the offense, and he was sharing his thoughts. And the common narrative that we've had here is obviously we want him to throw downfield. He's a little bit gun-shy, and he's a little bit hesitant to actually open up. He may see those guys downfield, you know, Nelson Agholor or Kendrick Bourne, but he's not hitting them.
Yeah, there's a couple instances, and part of the issue here, Tyler, also, is that NFL Game Pass has been broken for the first 2 weeks of the season, so yep. we can't get the All-22 and actually see it. But there have been a couple videos have trickled out. They did it on the broadcast last week where they went camera by camera,
sure,
showing every single route down the field, and they did it once on the broadcast. They were all covered. But then I saw some guys on Twitter. I don't know who, what
Jermaine
sort of
Wiggins.
Favors they had to do with whom in order to get their hands on the coach's film, but they got it apparently, and there were some plays where guys are running open down the field, and I don't know if Josh is telling Mac, hey, work from low to high. If low is there, just take it. Like,
sure,
it's a winning formula against the Jets, but like the Saints and the Bucks and maybe the Dolphins again the next time they play them, like that's not, I don't think that's as much of a winning formula.
It's a low risk, low reward offense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people need to understand that there's this, especially people like Gresh, need to take away this antiquated view of pushing the ball downfield. We're not saying throw it 60 yards in the air and make it a 50-50 ball. That's
right.
Not what pushing the ball downfield means. Pushing the ball downfield means finding a guy like Nelson Agholor who thrives in this field of finding a guy 15, 20 yards downfield, deep in crossing routes, passes to the back shoulder down the sideline. Like, high percentage plays that are also pushing the extent of your offense. Like, Mac Jones is targeting everything generally close to the numbers, inside the numbers, and less than 10 yards down the field. I mean, Mac Jones is averaging 5.6 intended air yards per pass. That means every ball he throws is going approximately 5.5 yards. He is down at the bottom of the league with the likes of Andy Dalton, Jacoby Brissett, and Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, we need to... I'm not saying...
Check down kings.
Yes, I'm not saying throw
it's not,
the
it's
ball...
It's not check down, but per se. But
yeah,
like,
but it's...
It's short passes.
It's short passes. And
safe football.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. And that's not going to win you football games. When you play a team like Tampa Bay or Kansas City or even Buffalo, if you can't at least somewhat extend your offense down the field a little bit, you're gonna lose.
See, I think it can win you football games, but I'm in the middle on the Shime end and the Gresh end of this, because the only part of this that concerns me, because I do think you could keep the ball away from Kansas City and sustain a long drive against a bad defense and score a touchdown, and Mahomes will probably match you, but if you know timing works out. But that's the thing about timing working out, is I don't trust that with a minute 30 left on the clock and down by 4 points, getting the ball at his own 20. That Mac can throw the ball deep down the field in a two minute offense like that.
I don't trust that at all. Even like at an end of half, if you get the ball with like a minute 15 left and you have to go 80 yards, maybe even get a field goal. I don't even know if I would trust that at this point.
You
need like 3-4 minutes of an offensive, you know, possession to actually score points with this team.
You look at last Thursday's game. Taylor Heinicke got the Washington football team in field goal range in 30 seconds.
Throwing dimes.
Derek Carr did the exact same thing. Mac Jones can't do that. In 2 plays, he cannot get you 75 yards down the field. He just can't do it.
Do you think he's not capable of that, or do you think he's like scared of doing that right now?
Well, my biggest critique of him coming out of college was I didn't think his arm was good enough. People kept saying, oh, he has a great arm. I don't think he does. Down the field, I don't think he does. I think his bread and butter is what they're doing right now, which is being able to diagnose a defense and react quickly, right? He's being able to step back, go through his progressions, and he's even better than I thought he was at doing that. That I will cede, but at the same time, I still am not convinced that this kid can physically and accurately push the ball down the field.
And that is what Paul Sanadiba was talking about with the New Orleans media earlier this week about how gun-shy Mac Jones is.
There's a new quarterback, so he's going to be, you know, at times could be gun-shy and stuff like that, but...
So, looking at the text line here, this is actually a great text. Three of those four guys that Shyam just named are check-down kings that are Belichick-trained. Next text.
I noted that in my column as well this week.
There you go. Yeah. You actually had like three or four pieces this week.
One story. One was more of a story. Two columns. One, every Wednesday morning, if anybody doesn't know this, I do like a turning the page sort of column. You don't title it that way, but
yeah.
This week it was Jameis Winston is the anti-Mac Jones. I do a whole thing on that, and at the end there's like three little things. So I had the Paulson to Debo thing I read in there, which if anyone's just tuning in missed it, and we just played the cut from him a second ago. He complained about Mac not being able to push pushing the ball downfield.
Sure.
He gave up. Sam Darnold targeted him 11 times last week, 9 catches, 90 yards. So this is not a person who should be flapping them lips before,
he's like,
before
oh, this game. True. I had that a tough week.
If this was Marshawn Lattimore, it might be a different case.
Lattimore can do it too. But Lattimore also, the Lattimore thing's interesting because he didn't play that great last year. Like, he was fine. One game, and we will look back at that Packers-Saints game as a de facto preseason game for the Packers, just like the entire month of September has been for the Patriots for the last 20 years.
Yep.
Marshawn Lattimore obviously shut down in that game because the Packers didn't do anything. Sean Payton handed him the most guaranteed money in the history of the NFL for a cornerback at, like, halftime of
that
game.
And then he immediately needed to have surgery after he signed the contract.
Yeah. He had, like, a bone fracture. He fractured his little thumb or something like that.
I think it's a Saints thing, too. They just give out these massive contracts and then have these guys get surgery.
Yeah, then they signed Taysom Hill to like an 8-year extension and 7 of the years are void years to offset the cap hit.
617-779-7937. Patriots fans, are you worried about Sunday's game, which seems like a trap game in my opinion against the Saints because we all know what next week is. It's the Brady week. But by the way, guys, the Bucs might have their own trap game this week because
they do. They definitely do.
They absolutely are going, well, they're going across the country out to the West Coast to play the LA Rams, which they're now 1-point favorites after opening up as 1.5-point dogs, I believe. And that's now 55.5 over-under. Shyam, how are you feeling about this game, potential trap game for Brady and the Bucs?
I am staying away from the total because I very much believe this game might go under. But at the same time, it could be a bit of a shootout. I can't really decipher that. But the one thing I do know, and John has been preaching this stat all week, so sorry to poach it from you, John.
Do you want me to say it?
Which one are you going to say?
Penalties? Tampa Bay, second most penalized team in the NFL. That is by both. I think it's by yards, and if it's number of penalties, it's they're third behind like the Eagles, and I forget the other one. Rams, second least penalized team by number of penalties and yards behind only the Indianapolis Colts, believe it or not.
There was also a
graphic. The Patriots got to be up there, too.
Yes, there was also.
Penalties, yeah.
So there was also a graphic tweeted out. This guy named Tej Seth. He actually works for a PFF. He's one of their R&D interns.
Tej Seth.
Tej, T-E-J.
Long time, one of the best analytics followers on Twitter for the last like 7 years. And now he works for the top company to do that. So.
And so he posted a graph of basically teams that are getting fortunate in a lot of their scores. And Tampa Bay has been one of the most fortunate teams when it comes to points because a lot of their points have come off of turnovers. When you're playing quarterbacks like Matt Ryan and you're getting turnovers, you then have short fields and easy points. Whereas a team like the Rams aren't quite as fortunate or working for a lot of their points. All their points, for the most part, are actually deserved. They should be scoring more points than they have scored. And so with those penalties in mind, I don't think the Rams are going to turn the ball over enough for the Bucs to be able to kind of keep pace. I think this game comes down to a field goal, but I think it's very much in the Rams' favor.
There was a point that Fitzy was bringing up, I believe, in our conference call. He brought it up yesterday during the show on Merlone and Fourier as well, 2-6 here on EEI. He mentioned that Patriots fans absolutely care about the result of this week's Bucks-Rams game. They want the Bucks to win to come in to Gillette on Sunday. I just don't see that at all. I don't see how Patriots fans even care about the result of this week at all. Right. I don't think you need a pissed off Tom Brady to come in. Like, I don't think that's a storyline. I don't think Patriots fans care about the result of the Bucks Rams game.
No, they're the reigning Super Bowl champions. He doesn't need other motivation than to be like, look at what I did without you guys and come in and stomp your face in.
Well, part of that is like the Team Brady Patriots fans who are like, oh, you know, I'm a Patriots and a Bucks fan now. And they don't really like know what to do with their life. But they, because, you know, before they would just listen to whatever Belichick said. And now Brady left and they still want to be a Brady fan, but they don't know if they can be both and they don't want to. They don't want to be wrong about anything ever or go against the Patriots, so...
Yeah, and I guess if Mac beats an undefeated Tom Brady's Buccaneers, like, that's a massive story. But if he does it anyways, that's still going to be a massive story. It's going to be... the ratings won't take a dip at all because of it. By the way, this hour of the WEI Producer Show is sponsored by MB Tractor and Equipment with locations across New England. Visit mbtractor.com for the nearest store. So Julian Edelman, which has kind of been buried also this week. We know that next week's the Brady week, but... He was only out for literally 2 weeks off the roster. He retired at the end of last season, and the Patriots in week three said, we have to get this in before Brady comes to town. Julian Edelman will be honored, I believe, at halftime, maybe in pregame, probably both, I would assume, at this week's game.
Why not the Bucks game? What's up with that?
That was the question I was going to throw to you guys because
doesn't Tommy want to be there for that?
You could do Tommy, you could do Robbie G, Red Zone Robbie G, and Julian Edelman all at once and just kind of make it a big, you know,
oh, they're not. They're not going to honor Brady and Gronk.
You don't think so?
No.
What do you mean by not honor them? Like no.
I mean the crowd will go wild when they walk out on the field.
No, there might be a pregame video. I think they honor Vince Wilfork.
They're going to honor both these guys.
Yeah, I think this is way too early for any of them. Anyways, like it's like Julian Edelman has been gone for 2 seconds. Like let the guy actually be retired.
Well, he's retired. So I was like, you're talking about when Wilfork came back as a Texan. Yeah, we're saying
yeah.
So at least Edelman's retired. Like Brady and Gronk are still playing. And it didn't exactly. It's not like Isaiah Thomas coming back to the Celtics like 4 years later or however long it took
when he
got the Coldplay themed thing at the beginning of the game. Like it didn't end well with Brady and Gronk. I don't think Belichick recognizes like, okay, there's got to be a little something pregame or I don't know, but I would hope he's not spending too much time on that. But I also don't think
the
decision comes down to him. I think he's being like, yeah, we got a football game.
Yeah, I don't know if. I don't think Bill would even think about that at all. I don't think he's going to put his hands in sort of the, you know, Patriots.com or the game day operations stuff. That's stupid to me. But I want to get to some of these comments that Julian Edelman was talking about on OMF, or actually with the Patriots media. By the way, he spoke for 33 minutes. No Patriots player will ever speak for 33 minutes throughout the whole season.
Was it coherent?
And Edelman spoke about that, spoke for 33 minutes with the Patriots media. But he's going to make his return to Gillette this Sunday. And he was asked about some prepared marks that he would potentially have. And, of course, he's an emotional guy. But Julian Edelman says, nah, nothing really prepared.
A couple of questions about Sunday. First off, have you prepared remarks? And do you expect to be emotional on Sunday?
I haven't prepared remarks. Emotional. I mean, it's definitely going to hit my soul. You know, it'll be the first time I see, you know, the guys that I did play with and not playing with them and a lot, you know, coaches and guys behind the scenes. And you know, I really haven't seen anyone. So it's going to be, it's going to be interesting. I don't know really what to expect. I'm an emotional guy. We'll see if, you know, I could hold it up, but I'm excited to see the fans. Like I said before, I mean, last year was just so funky, you know, and especially not playing and getting hurt and not, you know, I don't know. So I'm excited.
So obviously Edelman was Brady's guy. Who is Mac Jones's guy so far? I don't have a sense of who that is. Is it
Damien Harris? Yeah, I think they're good friends. I mean, like that, I guess that's, I don't think he has like a go-to target yet. So I think his guy on the offense is Damien Harris because he knows.
Safe.
Yeah, it's
targets-wise, it'll probably be like
Jacoby Myers.
It'll
right?
probably be Myers.
It
by,
has to be.
You know, by the end of the year when that's played out. But we had Damien Harris on yesterday, and he said yeah, we were best friends the second we met at Alabama. We picked up right where we left off. it seems like just because of the way they both talk on the air, maybe it like sounds like they're not playing it up. But also like if you follow either of their girlfriends on Instagram,
best friends.
Their girlfriends are absolutely best friends. Do everything together. Sit together at the games. Go everywhere together. So. Yeah, that's his, as far as like bromance goes.
Yeah, that's
like,
his
that's,
guy.
That, yeah, that's them.
The
that's
safety
them.
Blanket too, right?
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So because he knows that if the team needs to pick up 2 yards, he's going to give it to Damien Harris, and Harris will try and get it for him. Like he'll almost always get it for him.
So Edelman was also speaking with the media part of this 33-minute press conference, which dragged on forever. He obviously never played with Mac Jones. He's been talking about him on Inside the NFL, which he's been okay. I had no expectations for Julian Edelman as a TV analyst for football because I just don't think he has a whole lot to say. He's not very bright. And he's been okay on Inside the NFL. But he was talking about how he was actually asked, do you wish you could play with Mac?
I think my thoughts are that the team's looking pretty good, honestly, for the amount of new players that they have and for the free agents that they signed to be performing and producing, and Mac seeing his progression each and every week. You know, he's been playing pretty well. I mean, I know he hasn't lit up the scoreboard and all that, but like you can see that baby steps are progressing, and I'm excited for the coaches and the team this year to just kind of keep that going, that improvement, and see what he really made of. You know, he's thus far been looking good. There's going to be some bumps in those roads, but we'll see how he reacts. And I like his demeanor, and I think he's a stud, and I'm looking forward to seeing him this week.
Why not answer that?
What?
Jules, first off, you're free, and also it's not like that was a scandalous question. Hey, Jules, why'd Malcolm Butler sit in the Super Bowl?
No one asked.
That's not that. That's would you play with Mac? It's like, yeah, I'd like to. Like, I think the team's good, and I'm not into evaluating. That's Belichick. Jules, no one asked about evaluating.
He's still in the Patriots mode. Still in that Patriots.
You can take the player
mode.
Out of New England. You can't take the New England out.
So
of the
many
player.
Of them are when they leave and go into media. They still don't say anything, and it baffles me. Like they don't want to like. That's not how you do this. That's not how you do media and shows.
No, you can't be boring. You can't be guarded.
Like you don't want to be walking on eggshells, not wanting to like piss off the coach or the player or the owner or anything. Like it's not.
You don't need to go scorched earth either, though. You just need to have a take, right? Like you need to be on one side or the other. Yeah, exactly. Be honest. Just tell us the truth.
Because that question's not even that doesn't even fall into the realm of what we're even talking about. Yet he still gives that sort of cookie cutter answer to it.
So he was also
These people
asked,
just want to be boring for the rest of their lives, don't they?
Well, how about this answer? So he was asked about the Week 4 game against Tom Brady and his return. And here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be weird. You know, it's like going to like a family barbecue or like a basketball event, and both like you're the stepkid or you're like the kid who has divorced parents and your mom and dad are there, and like you don't know how to react. Are they going to fight? Are they not going to fight? So it's gonna be interesting, but I'm excited. It's gonna be who's not excited for it.
All right, as three children
it's be
of divorce.
Game.
Sorry, I thought that was over. As three children of divorce, what do we think?
That was a weird weird comparison. He goes, it's like a family barbecue or a basketball event. Like I never thought about a basketball event. I've never heard
of that. I was fat.
If you have like a jamboree on Saturday and both parents come.
So Nick LaPan, I'm throwing this on you last second. There was another cut where he was asked about rooting. Which team were you going to root for? Because on your show, you talked about, hey, are you team Mac or are you team Cam?
Patriots.
Julian Edelman.
Oh, he took it to a new level.
Is team Foxborough. Oh, here is Julian Edelman.
Foxborough, man. You know, I hope Tom does great. I hope everyone stays healthy. I hope Gronk does great. But, you know, I hope, like, it's just a high-scoring battle. And maybe little Mac comes out. Who knows? But we'll see. I'm in the media now. I'm an analyst. I can't be taking sides right now. For the integrity of the art of an analyst, I'm going to have to take the fifth on that one, actually, because I got to see how they both perform. And then I will break it down afterwards.
You are
in my opinions, and
that's like Shime spilling his hand.
You are an analyst. You are literally
the integrity
by
of
definition,
the position, Shime.
Supposed to analyze this.
Also, saying Foxborough means you're taking Patriots, right?
He is.
Like he's not.
But he
wouldn't say it. He's so scared to say.
Wait,
it.
You said Foxborough. Is there? Does Tampa? Do the Bucks play in Foxborough? That's where
know.
The Patriots play.
He just won't pick a damn side, and he obviously wants to say I'm rooting for the Patriots, but he won't say I'm rooting for the Patriots over Tom. Like he just won't say that. I hope both teams have fun. I hope both teams enjoy the day. So this is the WEI producer show. I don't know why we made along the way. That was like the Glenn Ordway impression. We're here until 9 o'clock with the Ken and Curtis show.
You said OMF earlier, by the way.
Did I say OMF?
Yeah, you did. Damn. I've been doing it too.
Damn,
it's hard to get. I mean, I MF people enough that like well, I should be. It should have been an easy transition, but it hasn't been for whatever reason.
Are you still dropping Dale and Keefe's?
I put it in an open for the Keefe's Key segment by accident last week. Or I played the one that still said Dalen Keefe on it. So
One text here before we go to break. The Bucks and the Patriots are both locks to win this win and cover this weekend. Wow. Also take Arkansas plus 185 outright over an overvalued Texas A&M lousy quarterback.
I am so far on the Rams. The Rams are what? They're getting a point and a half, Sean. Yeah. Rams money line is the pick here. Gresh was
home
giving
dog,
me
baby.
Gresh was giving me crap yesterday, saying like, "Oh, that's so close,
take
it doesn't even matter."
And
I take the point. No. You take the money line because it's a macho oozing with machismo move to take
the
money
the
line in this situation. They're not going to win by one. No one ever wins by one. It's never happened in NFL history before.
Except
the
week
money
one
line.
For the Patriots and last week.
It literally just happened.
The Minnesota Arizona game.
Don't bring facts into
the Patriots game.
I mean, it could have been. No one knows.
Looking forward here, we're going to take a quick break. I want to get to a little bit of Red Sox next, and then there was also a take by Nick Wright I want to throw you guys' way and see what your reaction to. Is it hyperbolic, which usually if you're talking about on Fox Sports 1 or ESPN in the mornings, you absolutely have
to
be full of hot wind and gas baggery. But that'll be next with Nick Wright and the Red Sox. This is the WEI Producer Show.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're back to the WEEI Producer Show.
And Stanton drives one into the gap in right center field. A long run for Kike. He will not get it. His way back, and it is gone. A three-run homer for Stanton. And that might be the haymaker to Evaldi.
It absolutely was the haymaker. 8-3, the final score last night at Fenway Park. Yankees over the Red Sox. The Yankees, it seems like it's going to be Yankees-Red Sox for the wild card game, guys. But I'm not entirely convinced, like Fangraphs is, like Lou is, like a lot of Red Sox fans, that the Red Sox even make the playoffs. Because at Fangraphs, they are currently at 97%. That should be like 67. Like I think that there's 8 games to play. You have 2 against the Yankees, 3 against Baltimore on the road, 3 against the Nationals on the road. They're not good enough to be like, oh, that's 6 wins against Baltimore.
Well, it depends.
And Washington.
Can Schwarber catch an infield fly ball?
What the hell was that last night? He's looking up towards the heavens and about to grab the ball, And Rafi comes behind him, and he just, like, turns around and looks at Rafi like, hey, you gonna get that? Like,
it just, like, dropped what? Over his head.
That was so
bizarre. He must have heard footsteps or something. He's probably, is that the first time he's ever had to, like, communicate on an infield fly ball before?
He just didn't know
how to do it?
I mean, that might have been the issue.
It's only his, like, his third career game there, so.
Did the coaches give him a heads up? Like, hey, just so you know, like, you know, you're playing this very important position on the field. If there's an infield fly ball, make sure you talk to people.
Maybe he thought, like, the infield fly rule was in effect or something. I have no idea, but I think people are kind of just, I mean, even the analytics, 97% chance of them making the playoffs.
I don't listen to the analytics, Tyler.
The Yankees played the Rays and Jays to end the season, so they have three games against the Jays, so they're going to be battling for that second wild card.
Also, if the Jays keep losing to teams like the Twins, I think we'll be fine. So
I think the Mariners have also won. The Mariners have won like five or six straight. I think there's an absolute chance that
they're dead in the water.
No, they're not. They're only two games back of the last slot.
They're dead in the water.
They're not dead in the water because the Mariners, look who they face. They've placed the Angels and Angels, three against Oakland at home, and then three against the Angels at home.
Is that your own thought, Nick, or are other people telling you to think that?
Huh? No, that is my own
thought.
Stop
being a sheep, Nick.
Yeah.
Lou got to you.
I think, honestly, it might end up being, if the Red Sox miss, I think the Mariners could sneak in because their schedule is so easy. Oakland's kind of been bad lately. And they beat up on Oakland last week, the Mariners did. So I think that this 97% stuff that the Red Sox make the playoffs, I think's a bunch of garbage. And I think if they make the playoffs, does anyone have faith that they're actually going to beat the Yankees in a one-game series?
No,
one
but
play-in?
I mean, to be fair, though, I think it's a win of a season, though, if you at least make the playoffs, right? If you get in, you make the playoffs, even if you lose in the wild card round, nobody expected this team to do that anyways, right? I was very, very disappointed with the lack of moves at the trade deadline. But ultimately, when you look at it, big picture-wise, if you make the playoffs, that's a win of a season for this Red Sox team that wasn't, prior to the season, was not expected to come anywhere close to that.
But well, it's Boston, though, so.
Shouldn't we have our expectations like change or transform throughout the season?
For sure.
Once we know this team is more talented than we thought?
But we also know that they're not good enough to win the World Series.
Sure.
Right? That's why I felt like it was fair to kind of criticize management for not making moves at the deadline, because I thought with moves you could have been good enough, but you didn't make moves. You're not going to beat the Tampa Bay Rays in a 7-game series. It's not going to happen.
Steve Peralta and Lou Maloney have been saying, oh, well, you came into the season, like the over under in Vegas was 79.5 wins, so you went over it, so it's a successful season. Whereas I'm thinking, I sat down and watched 100 of these Red Sox games. They are way more talented than Vegas thought they'd be preseason. And therefore, if they do not beat the Yankees in a one-game playoff or really make a run, or if they miss the playoffs altogether, you have to be disappointed. You can't say, oh, well, preseason, they weren't expected to do anything. Well, no, we all watch these games. They're better than what everyone
expected.
Yeah, but
people want World Series around here.
It's almost
they just do. I know, right. Maybe it's not us three or Nick or anyone. Maybe it's not anyone at the station. Maybe, I don't even know what Lou thinks. But, like, people, there tends to be a perception like, did you win the Super Bowl or the World Series or the Stanley Cup or did you not? And if you didn't, then it's a failure.
Right. And like people like Glenn will be like, oh, well, like not actually Glenn, but 98.5 across the street will be like, well, there's no reason to watch this team because they have no chance of winning the title. Like Adam Jones has been saying that. Let's have a boycott of the Red Sox games. Don't go because they just want your money. Wow. They're a private business who wants your money. They actually have promotions to get people to come to their
Such
stadium.
Such as every radio station.
Why
are
we
like
shocker?
It's such a weird way to go about things.
Yeah.
Because if that's the case, why haven't you been saying that about the Celtics? Like the Celtics have made some stupid moves and lack of moves and have not pushed when they should have with a young core like they have. So like it's stupid.
Yeah.
I think that's a dumb way of looking at this. Now again, I think if the Red Sox make the playoffs, I think that's a win. That's a good thing. Now you need to do it consistently, though, right? It sets a new expectation. Whereas even if you make the playoffs this year, it's like, okay, next year in the offseason, we got to make some moves, add a couple pieces, and next year we need to win in the playoffs. And I think that's just kind of how the goalposts need to move.
I was going to bring up with Glenn, like he calls the Celtics all the time a cute little team, but he's never said like this team's not worth watching. Like he brings up like there's fun in this team and there's been a lot of fun nights with the Red Sox. Like, they're not going to win it all. They're not going to win the World Series, but you can enjoy watching this team night out.
Go tell the however many people that were at the game last night. Go stand outside as they're walking out and tell them that they shouldn't like the team.
Oh, I mean, they were down 8-0 last night and still chanting Yankee suck. Like, you're getting your ass
beat people
at
there.
Home, and they're still saying, like, no. You guys are the ones that suck.
It's like the hockey argument. It's like walking to TD Garden when the Bruins are playing the Canadiens to walk out on center ice and tell those people that hockey sucks.
Yeah,
I'm sure they don't
care.
They don't care what you think.
617-779-7937. We talked about the Bucks and the Patriots. That's obviously next week, but both teams obviously facing a trap game for this week. So are you concerned about the Patriots-Saints game tomorrow, 617-779-7937, or are you convinced that the Red Sox will make the playoffs? I'm not. I'm not convinced at all. Fangraphs is. It seems like everybody in this town is. So we'll take your calls here coming up soon. A couple on the text line. The Red Sox have 6 to 8 arms in the bullpen right now. It's actually, the fact is they have 10 guys in the bullpen, but maybe 6 to 8.
Do they have one guy with one arm? Wouldn't it be 6, 8 arms?
It would be.
They're including 7 as a potential. We have 4 ambidextrous guys in the bullpen.
The Rays won early. Don't see their magic show of a pitching staff going through the playoffs. I don't know how you could say that.
If you listened to Jeff passing on with Gresh and Keefe yesterday, you would be like, okay,
The
Rays are pretty good.
The part where he tried to switch the Bluetooth from his headset to the car and it cut out.
Also, you'll get a laugh. So,
are we also forgetting the Rays were in the World Series recently? Like, they were a pretty damn good team. I mean, they were pretty damn good. This guy's like, they can't do it.
I watched Moneyball
last night.
So I think the Rays can do whatever they want.
The reason to pick the Rams this week is because the Bucks won't have JPP and Antonio Brown, and their secondary is bad, not because of some of the stupid analytics.
Okay, so their secondary.
The Rams are a better team.
Saying their secondary is bad is painting a quite broad brush. It's Jamel Dean is bad.
Yes, it's that's one guy.
Literally, and I guess Sean Murphy Bunting, but I think he's injured. Did he get injured in the first game?
Yeah, he got injured in the first week, and Sean Murphy Bunting was actually very good last year.
Yeah, and so Carlton Davis might be able to take away whomever from the slot. Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp. Mike Edwards is the top-rated safety in PFF so far this year. And
Antoine Winfield Jr.,
is the guy who nobody knows who Mike Edwards is because of.
Yes.
So their secondary is good.
The issue with that is it frustrates me to no end sometimes with the way some people look at football, because it's like it's a whole picture. It's not just one position or one thing. You have to take in all of the possible data and then make a fair assessment.
Like what are some of my notes on this game too, like Aaron Donald is the second in number two player in pass rush win rate in the league right now. TJ Watt's number one, Donald is two, and those two are so far ahead of everybody else. The Bucks don't have anybody in that list, but the Bucks are first in pass rush win rate as a team. So they've got it coming from everywhere, whereas the Rams really only got it coming from one guy. But, who's their DC? Is it Raheem Morris?
Yes, it is.
Like, Raheem Morris is a good DC. Sebastian Joseph Day is number 7 in run stop win rate. So, like, they have more singular guys that are better than everything Tampa has. I hadn't heard the JPP thing. Yeah, Todd Bowles is Tampa. Raheem Morris is LA.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
So Raheem Morris didn't quite. He was like, wasn't he the head coach for a little bit there
in Atlanta?
Well, Atlanta, he was the.
And in Tampa.
He was interim.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in Tampa before that, but. I didn't hear the JPP thing, though. That's interesting. But AB is very interesting as well, because if Carlton or if... So one of the stats, and I messed this up on the podcast yesterday, Shime, and I'm sure this is the exact same audience, so I'll repeat it on the air.
Go for it.
Jalen Ramsey, and not Demaryius Randall, as I erroneously stated. It's Darius Williams, the other corner. Those two have not let up a 20-plus yard pass downfield since 2019. Now, the Rams have some young safeties, and Tom Brady could definitely take advantage of that. But if AB isn't playing and they're able to sort of corral Evans and Godwin to under 20 yards, especially for a game that is going to be as close as this one, I brought up the penalty stat earlier. Tampa, second most penalized team in the league. Rams, second least penalized team in the league. I don't know. That's why I'm on Rams' money line for this game. I think they are so much better coached. I don't think Bruce Arians is as good of a coach as people say he is. I think he was really good the season when he came in relief for Chuck Pagano in Indy and won Coach of the Year. It might have been Andrew Luck's rookie year or his second year in the league. He was fine as the Cardinals head coach, but they had a lot of talent. He is the head coach of the best roster in the league, which he got hired to after it was already the best roster in the league, and then they brought Tom Brady. It's not like they're wildly disciplined. I'd say they're one of the least disciplined teams in the league. And it might not be till week 13 when Tom Brady whips them into shape like he did last year that they become one of the more disciplined teams in the league.
And I think this
they
is
seem
also,
complacent to me.
I also think this is a thing where you look at the Tampa Bay LA offense, and it's like you're not going to be able to run the football on the Buccaneers. You just can't do it. You haven't been able to do it for 2 years. It's not going to start now. And so, but with Darrell Henderson out or banged up, there's a good chance that they don't try to do that anyways. It's just going to be throw the football, whether it's Van Jefferson.
They could use Sony.
All right, let's let's pump the brakes there on Sony.
But give him a couple runs to keep him honest.
But it's like, even if you try and bottle up Cooper Kupp, who has been arguably the best receiver in football the first 2 weeks of the season, you still have Robert Woods. You still have Van Jefferson. They have the rookie there, too. Tutu Atwell is there. Deshaun Jackson might make an appearance, for Christ's sake.
Deshaun Jackson plays for the Rams?
Yes, and they have Tyler Higbee. They are going to be spreading the ball all over the place in the pass game, and I think you're going to see a very different Rams offense than you've seen in the first 2 weeks. A lot of the first 2 weeks was kind of your balance, take your shots kind of offense, but I think this week it's going to be a pass heavy. I don't think they're going to attack as much down the field, but I think you're going to see them attack a lot outside the numbers, find guys like Robert Woods, Tyler Higbee for a lot of plays.
So I have a bet here, Christian, I'm going to throw your way.
Send it to me.
Maybe you need to go to the gambling seminar we'll have this week here at the building before I actually can have you answer this question.
Of course, yeah.
But we're talking about a lot about the Bucks and the Rams and, of course, the Patriots and the Saints game. I want to throw both these teams into a teaser, a six-point teaser, and it would move it to the...
Explain what a teaser is for, in case the audience, and totally not one
uneducated
of your co-hosts, doesn't know what that is, put it out there.
Christian Fourier has no idea what a teaser is. He's like, is that foreplay? Like, what is that? So a teaser would be...
You released before a movie.
So teasers can be anywhere from like 6 points up to like 21 points, which are like insane odds. But anyways, so the 6 point teaser would be you're taking the Patriots -3, you're adding 6 points. So that now they're +3. The Rams are +1 right now, so you're adding +6 to them, and they are now at 7. So Christian, the bet that I would have would be the Rams and the Patriots both to win at 7 and 3. So the Patriots would be at +3 and the Rams would be at +7. What do you think about those bets? Both would have to win for me to cash, but what do you think about that teaser? +3 for the Patriots, +7 Rams.
I don't put the I'm not betting on this Patriots game. I'm not putting them in a teaser. I'm not betting them straight up. I'm doing nothing. I'm not touching this game with a 50-foot pole. I stay away completely. Now I'm more apt to agree to put a team like the Rams in a teaser, especially because right now that point's at 1.5. So you get the 6, you get up to 7.5. So you get that extra half point off the touchdown. So even if they lose by a touchdown, you still win, which I think is solid in that regard. But I don't touch that Patriots game with anywhere close. I think there's so many better teaser options, like the Ravens. They're currently 7.5-point favorites over the Lions. The Bills are 7.5-point favorites over Washington. I even think moving the Bears to +13 would be better than putting the Patriots in a tease. I can't touch that Patriots-Saints game at all.
Is that because you're fearing Jameis?
No, I still don't know what to make of this offense. I don't know if this offense can score points, and so that's why my score prediction is 16-14. I think every Patriots game, similar to last year, basically, is going to be in the under, which means it's always going to be close. So I will not bet a Patriots game probably all year, just because I don't think they have the ability to separate at all.
This is the WEI Producer Show. That is Chris Scheim, John Anderson. I am Tyler Devitt. We're here until 9 o'clock with the Ken and Curtis Show following us. Red Sox baseball this afternoon, 4:10 first pitch, 3:10 pregame here on 93.7 WEI. We'll wrap things up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Now back to more of the guys. The WEEI Producer Show.
A51 here on the WEI Producer Show. I was just asking you guys, you ever gone to a BC game? I was thinking about going maybe today for an hour or two, checking out the Missouri game.
Go enjoy it.
If you like the football environment,
yeah,
then you go to that.
Is there a football environment at BC games? Yeah. I'm genuinely asking. No,
I mean, if you like being around the game, then you go sit in the stands. Like maybe you really break it down, really analyze it, Tyler. Watch the signs they're holding up on the sideline, all the hand signals and everything. See if you can get blackout drunk and then Uber back to JP or wherever you live.
Free plate of food.
Unfortunately, no AJ Dillon for you this year.
Actually, I'll probably go to the the Florida State game later in the year, Virginia Tech.
My neighbor's the assistant wide receivers coach.
John, you actually had something you want to bring up here. What was your Stone Cold Lock of the Week?
Stone Cold Lock of the Week.
Guaranteed to lose.
And this line was 6.5 when I took it on Gresham Keefe, and when I took it on, I'm having a tough year gambling. I don't exactly make enough money to be like blowing all this money on gambling.
All right, hit me with your winner. What you got?
So on the podcast, this was 6.5. I took it. I took on a Gresham Keefe. We're now down to 7, and I pray it moves to 7.5. And I think it's going to, because people love betting on the Kansas City Chiefs. LA Chargers, 7-point underdogs going into Kansas City right now. Shime, what is the Chiefs' record at home against the spread since?
It's not at home. It's in the last 12 games. They're 1-11 against the spread.
And it was the Jets that they covered.
No, that's
It was the Bills in the playoffs.
Since beating the Jets last year, which I believe was week 8. Since week 8 last year, they are 1-11 against the spread. The only time they covered was against the Bills in the playoffs.
7.
So Vegas is absolutely overvaluing the Chiefs every single day.
No, so that's the thing.
No, everyone else is.
I'm going to copy Lou, you people are all sheep.
It's the sheeple.
Because you're all
Adam Jones
for
is
yourself.
Telling them to bet the Chiefs.
Boycott the Chiefs
Vegas,
betting.
Vegas always bumps up the line a little bit because you sheep just
you
bet the
sheep.
Chiefs. All the time. Everybody's like, I'm just going to bet the Chiefs to cover. And to be fair, it's all the people who probably just casually bet. And it's like, I know the Chiefs are really
That's
good.
Patrick Mahomes.
Less
Tyler.
Than a touchdown against the Ravens. Oh, they're absolutely going to cover the 3.
Tyler, exactly.
Trivia question for you, Tyler. Can you guess what team is dead last in pass rush win rate in the NFL as a
dead
defense?
Last, pass
dead last.
Rush win.
Can you guess what team?
It's my Jacksonville Jaguars.
No. It's one of the teams
City
we're talking
Chiefs.
About. And can you guess what team is dead last in run stop win rate?
The Chiefs actually have a decent. I mean, like
the Chiefs,
they have names on the defensive line. So
and
that's
they have
names. That's it.
They have names. Yes,
that's
it. I know it's the sports radio thing where you can like list a bunch of names, and I guess that like means that they're either good or bad. But like, look at the stats. Look at the analytics. They are bad. They're a bad defense. They have Honey Badger, who every once in a while jumps a route and gets a pick six, but who you know couldn't cover a deep ball to save his life.
And we're not
their
saying
defense
that
is horrible.
I'm a Lou Maloney sheep.
We're not this.
It's 7 points too. We're not saying they're going to win.
No,
it's
we're not.
Seven. That's
we're
a
not
touchdown.
Saying the we're not saying the Chiefs are going to lose. That's the other thing people need to understand is just because you take the team getting the 7 doesn't mean that the Chiefs are going to lose. It's not like you're taking them to lose. You're taking them to just not win by more than a touchdown against another really good football team when they haven't covered a spread like at all in the regular season since week 8 of last year.
They just don't do it.
They just don't do it.
Just don't cover.
No, they just don't because they don't care. And it's very similar to old Patriot teams in some ways where it's like they know they're so much better than everybody else that it's early in the season. It's just we're just kind of getting in a rhythm, figuring out what works, what doesn't. We know we can eke out a game. If we happen to lose one along the way, it's not a big deal. We're still going to win the division. That might be a little different this year because the division's a lot better. But at the same time, like their schedule is going to get easier too as the season goes on. So, they're probably not going to cover many games early. So I don't hate taking them points when you're talking about
take
a team like
points.
The Chargers against the Chiefs.
Take them points. Put it on the T-shirt. By the way, Jared Cook, you can get on DraftKings right now +100 on
you're
over
than Jared Cook.
Over 3.5 receptions is +100. It's great odds. He had 8 targets in week 1, 5 in week 2.
Not Brandon Cooks. Jared Cook.
Jared
yes.
Cook. He's,
why?
A,
tight
he's their tight end
this
one.
Is,
Tyler, he had 8 targets in week 1 and 5 in week 2, and it's 3.5, and you get great odds.
Now you don't need to ask why he's losing a lot of money.
You said this to me with the Cortland Sutton pick last week, and that one hit, huh?
Okay, one hit, John.
That
how
one
much,
hit.
How much money did that win you overall?
Well, I didn't actually bet it. I just gave it on the air. The ones I actually bet were embarrassing last week. That's why I'm not bringing them up. Listen to the Winners Club podcast if you want to hear them.
I hit my Carolina parlay, so I'm playing from ahead, boys.
Here is one pick you won't hear on the Winners Club podcast because it's coming from yours truly. Do not take the points from Notre Dame. They're +6.5 right now at Wisconsin. It's not actually at Camp Randall. It's at Soldier Field, downtown Chicago. Notre Dame's former current quarterback is Jack Cohn, the former four-year quarterback of Wisconsin. He's playing his old team, and Wisconsin is going to run the ball down Notre Dame's throat. Take it, the under and the 6.5.
The only thing I ever know about Wisconsin is that they always have a good offensive line, and they can run the football.
This is going to be a 24-13 type of game. Ugly. It might be a little bit cold today in Chicago. I have no idea, but it usually is a little bit windy right off the lake. Maybe a bad kicking game for that. So take the 6.5 and the under 44 Wisconsin. That is your Stone Cold Lock of the Week. That is Chris Scheim, John Anderson. I'm Tyler Devitt, the producer show. As always, produced by Nick LePan. Great job, Nick. The Ken and Curtis Show. More producers are on the way. That is next here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.